Today I'm reading from the Psalms, Psalm 27, verses 1 and then 4 through 9. A reading from a Psalm of David. It begins, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Should I fear anyone? The Lord is a fortress protecting my life. Should I be frightened of anything? I have asked one thing from the Lord. It's all I seek, to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life, seeing the Lord's beauty and constantly adoring his temple, because he will shelter me in his own dwelling during troubling times. He will hide me in a secret place in his own tent. He will set me up high, safe on a rock. Now my head is higher than the enemy surrounding me, and I will offer sacrifices in God's tent, sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and praise the Lord. Lord, listen to my voice when I cry out. Have mercy on me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Lord, I do seek your face. Please don't hide it from me. Don't push your servant aside angrily. You have been my help. God who saves me, don't neglect me, don't leave me all alone." Here ends the reading of the psalm. Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you be with us as we listen to your words speaking. Allah, may they be a part of our lives in the week ahead, and may they guide them down the fruitful path of being a disciple and being a part of your gracious kingdom here on earth. So be with us today and be with the words that we're all about to hear. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This past week, I had a conversation with someone. It's one of those conversations that when it begins, you already know where it's going to end up. Well, at least where I thought it was going to end up. I was finishing up my shift at my other weekly job, and we were having a discussion around picking up extra shifts and how poorly the company is at scheduling. That is another story for another time. I said, "I'm working as much as I can. I have something else that I have given my life to that has priority." And this person asked, "What?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And the next question that always comes out is the same every single time. Where? That's what everybody asks, where? And I tell them, Motley United Methodist Church. In the back of my mind, all I was thinking was this: how can I get out of this conversation, because I know it isn't going to end well. He told me right away that he was non-denominational. I said, good. Then I explained Methodism to him in a very concise way. All I was trying to do was get out of the conversation. Then he said something, and here's what he said: "It looks like I'm getting under your skin." And I said this: "Well, I'm guessing we're going to agree on things and disagree on other things." I said, though, "You agree, or you go with your life, and I'll get whatever matters to mine, and we'll both get to the same place." So I said, "I gotta go." And I left it all behind me. All I thought was not a big deal. It happens more than you think. So I run down to the bike shop, and I talk to my two friends about their time off, and I started home. I was there about 30 minutes. As I turn down the road I live on, my phone rings. It's a Park Rapids phone number. And I think, oh, maybe this is somebody I know. Nope. It is a guy from the earlier conversation. And I was thinking, why? What did I do? And here is what he said: "I just watched your sermon on your website, and I am sorry." That's what he said. It took me aback. He said, "Wow, I wish I would have heard what you said before I understood who you were. I said, okay. He said, I needed to hear that. I said, this is who I am. I have not had a good week. It came from my heart. Then he started quoting my sermon about carrying the light. And I said, we all struggle. We all have challenges. We all have some level of fear. We spoke for about a half an hour. And now guess what? I can call him friend. We have different views on life, but we are now friends. There is more about the conversation, but I don't want it to be the whole sermon. And I think that is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about safety. I want to talk about faith. And I want to talk about this. Maybe we aren't as far apart as we think we are. So let me begin with a few centering questions, if that is okay. First one, are we safer today than we were yesterday? Are we safer today than we were yesterday? Are we on the road to greatness? If we look at the dangerous world around us, have we found our place of strength, security, and even self-determination? Are we at a place where we can now breathe that sigh of relief because it doesn't matter what happens in the days and years ahead, all because we responded to the anger and despair of our own people? Or have we stepped closer to the abyss? How about the unity and progress in our nation, one that is filled with division and oppression, one where suspicion outweighs the moral standard of human life? One where we would rather protect those like us and reward the have and expel the have-nots. Maybe the problem is this, personal choice. Where the bar is set so high that we cannot find anything that can unite us. A world where it's every person for themselves, and there are some who will make it and some who will not. A real life Hunger Games. And that is just the way it is. Let's be real, shall we? Now, most of you are thinking right now, I guarantee it. Did Pastor just get political? How many of you are you don't need to raise your hand. I know the answer. And I'm going to tell you this. No, the pastor did not get political. You know what the pastor got? Biblical. You probably thought political because of the way the world is. Let me explain. Most people struggle with change. There are some who think it won't be so bad. Then there are others who think it won't be great. And what I am talking about, the future of our great nation, or the future of any nation, whenever there is change, especially in a role that carries power, there are two things that come of it. One is hope, and the other is fear. But sometimes problems occur. Like, what if we focus too much on hope? All it does is set us up for failure and disappointment. And that is what the feeling seemed to be of many who wanted change. And that call for change seemed to be based on fear, one that is understandable. What I'm saying is this, that when it comes to fear, it is powerful. It motivates. It is responsive. There are some who will rise up. There are some who will demand change. There are some who will run away. But I guess the real question is this. Are we still being led by fears and those who stoke our fears? Or is it time to find something else which, upon which to build tomorrow? Today you heard me read from Psalm 27, and here is how it begins. The Lord is my light and my salvation, should I fear anyone? The Lord is a fortress protecting my life, should I be frightened of anything? If traditions have it correct, then the author of this psalm, David, knows all about trouble. He has been treated or threatened by his enemies. He has been threatened by his loved ones. And he has had this life of being loved and despised at the same time. He was filled with God's presence and then seemingly abandoned by God because of his pride, his arrogance, his ego. David knew what it was like to fear. David knew what it was like to want to run away and hide. But here's the thing with David. His glory was this, that when he found himself in trouble, he turned to repentance. He found his humility. He sought redemption from the only source that could calm his fears. Sometimes we often view David as a strong leader, but it wasn't his physical strength that brought him comfort. That is why when he begins this psalm and says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, should I fear anyone?" We have to ask ourselves the same question, should I fear anyone? And then he says, do you want a list? Because when it comes to fear, there are way too many of us who will itemize the fears we need to embrace. It is the way of the world. Yep, you heard me correctly. It is the way of the world. Let's think about that for a moment. How has it changed? How many of you remember things that changed the way the world was heading? I say this because even though we live in and embrace the world, there is something we do not do. And that is live by the ways of the world. As followers of Christ, we are called differently. We are called to live confidently. We are called to be the bearers of the light. And that light is illuminated by hope and confidence. A light of faith that shines. A light of faith that transforms. There are so many people out there who think the opposite of faith is doubt. We can read about doubt throughout the whole Bible. It even transformed a faithful disciple named Thomas. But the reality is this, that doubt and faith, they coexist. There is a story from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, about a father who brings Jesus, this demon-possessed child. This is the story where the disciples tried to throw out the demon, but they weren't able to. So the father asked Jesus to. So Jesus asked the father how long this has been happening to the child. And the father replies, since he was a baby. And the man says this, if you can do anything, help us. Show us compassion. Jesus said to him, if you can do anything, all things are possible for the one who has faith. And that boy's father cried out, I have faith. Help my lack of faith. Or in other words, I believe. Help my unbelief. Belief and unbelief often sit side by side. You can't have one without the other. One gives a measure of doubt. The other turns into a crusader's arrogance. What I'm saying is this. When you have a certain amount of doubt, it gives you the right amount of humility. And that right amount of humility makes us effective instruments of God's grace in the world. Remember Job? It took him 37 chapters trying to convince himself that he was right and that God was the problem. That God messed up his life. It was God's problem. God needed to fix it all right now. And then God shows up, and Job falls flat on his face saying, I didn't know what I was talking about. I spoke above myself of things I really didn't understand. And then what did God do? God blessed him in that doubt and uncertainty. This is why I will always claim that the opposite of faith isn't doubt. It is fear. Throughout the Bible, the call is this, do not fear. Angels proclaim it. God proclaimed it. Jesus lived it. When we live into perfect love, fear is cast out. And what is perfect love? It is the love that comes from Christ. There is no room for fear when love is involved. But, Pastor, I have fear. Just tell me it will all go away. My response is, I wish I could. I wish I could remove it all with wisdom. I wish I could just say, fear, get out of here. But I also know this, that you just can't show up in the middle of the night when a child is afraid and say this, those monsters under your bed, they're not real. They're just a figment of your imagination. Or that sound that goes boom in the middle of the night, you're just making that up. It's illogical. Know what the child wants is this, us to come in, to grab them, to hold them tight, and love them. That is how we handle fear. And it is the same way we are told in the psalm today that we should seek shelter in the tent of the Lord, that we should hide in God, that God will lift us up, lift us above our fears. And when God does this, we are told we should worship. Worship with joy, shouts of joy as we make sacrifices. No animals here though, right? Rather, we know the blood has already been spilled. Instead, we are asked to sacrifice our pride, our property, our stiffness, our standoffishness. In other words, let's sacrifice our attitude, the one where it's me first, and offer ourselves to someone else, someone who's different. Let us act like we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Okay, Pastor, we like that. But look around. Look at the fear. Look at what is happening. It drives my fear. I am so afraid. And don't get me wrong here. I too hear those same calls to be afraid. There are so many things to be afraid of. To me, the world is falling apart, living in fear. Making choices around fear seems to be the best way. Acting out in fear seems to be the logical response. How do we get to that place where we can live without fear? Friends, today the psalmist hears your cry. Does the psalmist need a little pep talk to get there? Yes, but he let something slip. Here's what they said. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Do you want to overcome fear? Seek God's face. And I am 100% serious about this. This is not a cliche. It is a program. Seek God's face. Start looking around. Look into the eyes of the world around you. Look for God's gracious work. Seek God's face. We all claim to be followers of Christ. And when we make that claim, we believe that God is at work in us. So look for God's face in the stranger. Look for God in the eyes of the one who is asking for a handout. Look for God's face in the kindness when you think the world is crumbling around you. Look for God's face in those moments that person trying to get you riled up is asking you those questions for a purpose. Friends, we're all on a mission, and that mission complies with searching for God. It has never been about looking and living into fear. Let me see your face. Be my light. Be my salvation. It is the only way we can carry the light into the world. Amen.